The second book of Samuel, chapter 23. Now these be the last words of David, verse 1. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Ezmite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo. Verse number 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. Verse number 13. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in Anhold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three men break through the ranks of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab. Verse 20, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. Verse 24, and Asahel, the brother of Joab. Verse number 39, Uriah the Hittite. 30 and 7 in all. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, and we'll break into the middle of verse number 32. Daniel chapter 11, the last part of verse 32, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The Lord will bless the public reading from his precious holy word. We have heard from our dear brother Mr. Stalin something of the truth of election. We've heard from our dear brother Mr. Flanagan something of the truth of a day of review. I would like to continue to speak about that great subject, the day of review. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob is blessing his sons. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses is blessing the tribes. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, where we read from, David is telling us of some great men, mighty men. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul enumerates for us men and women who crossed his path as he served the Lord. And what they were and what they have been, they will be. There'll never be anything more in the kingdom than what they have been here. You and I will never ever exceed in the kingdom what we've practiced here for Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, says this: if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. And every man's work shall be tried, of what sort it is. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. At that day. There's a day coming. The day of review. We can't live our lives as we wish. We must live our lives according to the desires of Christ. 2 Samuel 23 is a wonderful chapter. David, in his opening remarks in the chapter, he says, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse. If Alec MacLean had been writing those words, I would possibly, if I know myself, I would have had it around the other way. And I would be saying, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man whom God hath raised up on high, and in small print, the son of. But David, the man whom he was, never, ever, ever forgot from whence he came. And the day that you and I ever forget from whence we came is the day that you and I are on the downward course. This is in the light of eternity. It says, now these be the names of the mighty men of David. No, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. They belonged to him. Love bound them to David. Nothing else. And it wasn't their hatred of the Philistines so much as their love for David that motivated their actions as they moved through in service for him. Mr. Stalin has been speaking about election. I want to speak about selection. David never selected them. They selected themselves. They were there because of worth. They were there because of love for David. You remember 1 Chronicles chapter 12? I mentioned this in Porto Voghi. You'll excuse me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are great men mentioned in the chapter. But the greatest moment was when Amasai came up and he says, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Not when he was coming up out of Elah. That would have been wonderful. Not when he was sitting on the throne. That would have been great. But when David was in rejection, and David's heart was sore, and David's heart was heavy, Absalom had used up the throne, and a man steps forward and he says, we're thine. We belong to you. We're thine. And love bound them to this great man, David. The word mighty is the same word as champion. Champion. I was very encouraged when I saw that word. There was a day when David moved into the valley of Elah and faced a champion. the champion of the Philistines, a giant of a man, a mountain of a man. And David ran in, a stripling of a lad, with a sling and a stone, depending upon the God of heaven. And he says, I'm against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom thou hast defied. And he slew the champion. In this chapter, there's 37 of them, and David surrounded by them. 37 champions, 37 mighty men. We were there as individuals. God never ever moves to save a situation through a multitude. Through a multitude. Whether it's David the Elah and the whole nation on the hillside, or Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and the nation terrified, or Phinehas in Numbers chapter 25. And you remember that incident when the people were standing at their tent doors weeping, and Moses was standing helpless, and the congregation was sitting down, and a man of Israel went out and he took in a woman. And as if the nation of Israel wasn't low and weak enough, God was coming in to judge because of Baal Peor. This man in his audacity took a woman into the camp. And there arose a man called Phinehas. Phinehas. Wonderful, really. It says he rose up from among the congregation. And he took a sword and he went after the man and the woman. And he slew them both. What's God's estimation of this man? I will give him my covenant of peace, even an everlasting priesthood. He shall have it and his seed after him. Peace for generations to come. Listen to the last little phrase. If we judge it now. Brethren, could you grasp that? Peace for generations to come. If we judge it now. Things are going on in assembly life, unjudged, underneath the carpet. Well, never mind. Don't rock the boat. Don't cause any more trouble. He rose up from the congregation and he dealt with the matter once and for all. And peace for generations to come. We come down the chapter and we meet a man called the Tachmonite. He sat in the seat, not on the seat. He sat in the seat. It was his rightful place. He wasn't the mightiest of them all because he was sitting in the seat. Oh no, he sat in the seat after the work was done. It says, and he slew 800 at one time. And then we read about Eliezer. And it says, and Eliezer slew 300 at one time. And this until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. What characterizes the Tachmonite is that he dealt with the matter once and for all. Complete opposite, a perfect antithesis to what we have in Saul, the son of Kish. He speared the best. Brothers and sisters, in assembly capacity, I have the feeling that in Northern Ireland, as far as I can see, everything is all right. And assemblies are going on well. And yet, I'm only judging as a stranger. I don't know what's happening in the warp and woof and in the core of your assembly. But I must give you advice tonight. If you can't take advice from a man like me, to deal with the matter once and for all. The Tachmonite never took the seat until everything was dealt with. And Eliezer is the same. But what characterizes Eliezer is that when Eliezer looked over his shoulder, the people were gone. Sometimes you've got to go alone. Ah, but what does it say? And the Lord wrought a great victory. You see, everyone had forsaken the Apostle Paul. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, the Lord stood with me. God, our Lord, will never ever let us down if we're prepared to move for Him in the light of the kingdom. I think we're very short-sighted. I think we're so short-sighted that we can only see this little circle of our home and our little family, and well, we're all right, and we've got this and we've got that, and it's a we're very short-sighted, but this is only the classroom, and the exam has yet to come. I never ever was any good at exams at school. I left at 14, so I didn't really have any exams, but I was always afraid of exams, simply because I hadn't done my homework. Isn't that right? No problem with the exams if you can sit and do your homework. And when it comes to the kingdom, you and I will have no problem in the kingdom. The Lord says, well done. We were over 10 cities. 10 cities. 10 cities. Why 10 cities? One man over 10 cities. Well, couldn't the Lord give us all a city? No, we never came up to the standard. And so he had to make one man over 10 cities. There were more cities than competent men to rule over them. So he made one man over 10 cities. And so we're in the classroom before the exam, before the kingdom, and it's ours. And then we come to that wonderful man, Shammah, as he stood, and all the people were gone away, and he's not like Gideon in Judges chapter 6. He isn't preparing food for the people of God. He's defending it. He's defending the food for the people of God. And you say, who are the Philistines? Well, the Philistines represent the pretension and the intrusion of man in the flesh into the things which belong to God. And that's why I'm prepared today to stand against them. You say, would you stand against the Bishop of Durham? I've never met him, but I'll stand against him. I wouldn't have any problem, you see, because I have this, the sword of the Spirit. And I would have no problem in standing against a man like that. Men who deny the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of Christ, and all those fundamental things that you and I so much believe and love, and that's the crux of the whole thing. Men who don't know the Lord are coming up and saying no, because they have it up here, but we have it here, in the Word of God. And so David said, oh, it wasn't even a word. It was only a sigh. Oh, that one would give me to drink of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. The waters of the well of Bethlehem. Tell me, are you in fellowship in God's assembly? Well, no. Do you know that the Lord Jesus asked one simple request? Only one. He said, this do in remembrance of me. That breaks my heart to think that for all that he's done for me, he only asks me to be there, to break the bread, to partake of the cup, and to do it intelligently, discerning the Lord's body, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so, they break through the ranks of the Philistines. And there may be something holding you back today from assembly fellowship to remember the Lord. Break through the ranks of the Philistines and bring a drink for Christ. There were men in the chapter. I'm not going to go over that clock time. But there were men in the chapter whom I would have never expected to be there. And men are missing. With a man in Peterhead called Joiner Jimmy. He was a new man. He was a godly man. I always remember one thing he said. When we get home, he says, there's going to be prizes. And there's going to be surprises. You see, here's the chapter. I'm amazed that Job isn't here. My Job was a successful man. But this chapter isn't about successful men. This chapter is about mighty men. But I would have expected Jonathan to be here. He was a lovely man. But this chapter isn't about lovely men. This chapter is about mighty men. And so we come down. We meet a man called Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. He was a man who slew a lion in a pit in the time of snow. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He slew a goodly Egyptian. My, some people would say, well, I mean, let's be fair. If he was a goodly Egyptian, speaking about a worldly man, you see, speaking about the world, but let's face it, if he was good, if he was a goodly Egyptian, there's no need to slay that now. I'll tell you something. If Benaiah hadn't slain him, the Egyptian would have slain him. And if I'm not going to slay every feature of the world, in my heart and in my home, that will eventually slay me. And I'll never be the spiritual man that I would like to be. Never. And so we have the world, the flesh, and the devil, and he slew them all. Great man, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. You'll see him again in the kingdom. You remember Solomon said a great thing. Benaiah, you'll find Job hung onto the horns of the altar. You'll find Shimei stepping over the border, then he was told never to step over that border. You see the difference between the reign of David and the reign of Solomon. This is David's reign. This is the day of rejection. But what Mr. Flanagan is speaking about is a day yet to come. The millennium. The kingdom. And nothing will be allowed to raise its head then. I'm going to sit down now. I want to ask you a question. Who do you think was the best of them all? The Tachmonite, Eliezer, Shammah, the three, Benaiah, Asahel, Job's brother Abishai, the sons of Zeruiah. Take them all. And I ask you, who was the best of them all? And you say, well, who do you think? And I say, the best of them all was the last man in the chapter. Uriah the Hittite. And David has great zeal. He's writing about Benaiah. He's writing about all the rest of the great men wielding swords and doing this and doing that. Here's a man that did nothing. It isn't what he did. It's what he didn't do. And to my mind, he's the best of them all. Because the man who can overcome the flesh is the man that God will use and promote him in a day in the kingdom. And David wrote a letter and he put it into the man's hand. It was his death warrant. Can you see the man? After two goes of David to have him down to his house, he hands the letter to Joab. And Joab opens it. This is Uriah the Hittite. Put him in the hottest part of the battle. And he died. Best of them all. Daniel chapter 11. But the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The Lord bless you all.